Testing, one, two, three. February 23rd, 2015.
Call tonight's February 23rd, regular Othello City Council meeting to order. Would you all please rise? I'll lead us in a short prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to assemble peacefully, to deliberate issues of concern currently and in the future of this city. I pray everyone would receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that they can make good decisions tonight and going forward. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call. I see all council members are present. Item 1.4, citizen input. This time during the meeting, the Othello City Council will hear citizens as they request to speak to the council about any issue that is concerning them, or just to give council information. You have up to 5 minutes to speak. So is there anyone present who would like to speak? Raise your hand and I'll recognize you and you can come to the microphone and speak. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, approval of the agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
We have a motion made, seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 3, consent agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.1, public hearing on the alley vacation and ordinance for Rolando Garza. This time I'd like to open the public meeting at 7:02 p.m. and ask for a presentation by our staff, Travis Goddard.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Travis Goddard. I am the Community Development Director for the City of Othello. And the case we're talking about tonight is Rolando Garza Alley Vacation. And you see in this project map or vicinity map that it is the property identified with the red bar, and that's the area to be vacated. It is strictly the east-west portion of the right-of-way within this block, and it's between Tech Street and Park, Roosevelt and First. Here is a view of the property from the corner of Roosevelt and Tech, the gray building with the, or the grayish beige building with the red bottom is on the corner of the Garza property, and you can see the storage back behind it. I'm going to move farther down the block, and you're looking directly down the north-south easement by the Garza property. And so this is the right-of-way that is not going to be vacated. This next picture is in the far back corner at the First and Tech, and it's looking along the east property line. I'm sorry, that is the west property line. There is a gate here in the foreground on the left. This is approximate location of the right-of-way easement that is being vacated. As you look through the fence, you can see that there's a large red and white structure that was built on the property, and it was built when the property owner had a license from the city to build or to use the easement. And so that's kind of part of the reason why the vacation is before us today. I move farther down First Street to the corner. The reason why I included this picture is that you can see that there is a fire hydrant down here on Tech. And you can see to the, actually, I'm sorry, you can't see it off to the right, is where the bus barn for the school district is being built. Moving up that street, this is essentially the front side of the building that you can see that's occupying the easement. And then this is at the other end of the north-south easement and the picture that I had previously taken was just behind the corner of that building, back there where that brown building is. So this is the other end of the undeveloped easement that will not be vacated. And the applicable codes that are affecting this case is Revised Code of Washington 3579, which governs the vacations of streets. Public notice was completed in accordance with RCW in both the Othello Municipal Code. And there was discussion previously when we talked about the resolution about whether or not compensation would be required or was applicable to this case. And under 3579.030, the city may require compensation, but that would be based upon the current appraisal of the land, and there is no current appraisal for this case because staff is not requesting compensation or an easement. The vacated property will become parts of the adjacent lots, which are zoned Industrial 1. And upon vacation of the right-of-way, half of the width of right-of-way will go to the property or the lots on either side of that. And I have some pictures of that later. The applicant has constructed a building, as I mentioned, but what I didn't mention before is that as you look at the lot lines, the building appears to be constructed on top of not only the easements, but lots 15 through 19 and 30 through 24. And I'll have a picture of this in the, on the next slide. And they also have a small lot, or a small building in the corner of the lot, which appears to cover lots 34, 35, and 36. And the Oregon Municipal Code at 1756.150 simply states that when a structure is built upon more than one adjacent platted lot, that the construction of the building shall act to eliminate the lot line covered by the structure and causes the lots to be considered a single lot under Titles 14 and 16, which is the zoning and the subdivision code. And I'm bringing that up because I'll talk about the ordinance in a minute. And so this gives you an idea of what the site looks like. The red is the area that is going to be vacated. And essentially what you see is half of the right-of-way, like in this case, will go up to lot 29. Half of it will go down to lot 20 because it's split in the middle and half goes in each direction. Now, the buildings I were talking about were these two blue patches, the brown and red picture, or the brown and red building we saw in the first picture. It's built over the property lines, which under municipal code implies that those are combined. And then the larger blue one is a rough representation of the existing one, which is not only in the right-of-way, but covers several of the lots above it. And the reason why I bring that up is because staff's recommendation is that you approve the variance upon the condition that the applicant understand that they would be required to do a plat of some type, whether that's a binding site plan, a boundary line adjustment, or a subdivision at some time in the future. I'm not recommending that they do it now as part of the vacation, but on the understanding that they have the flexibility when they apply, but ultimately that the city won't give them building permits, occupancy permits, or allow them a change of use in the structures or on the property without addressing this. And then the other caveat being that the purchase, sale, or transfer of the properties in question, it needs to be cleaned up at some point, not necessarily at this time. So I want to give the applicant flexibility to decide if and when he wants to do that. And then when he comes in to see me at a later date, we can talk about the various methods that we can do that for him to help clean it up. And so that's it. Are there any questions about the presentation or the ordinance?
Yeah, I have a question. Would you go back to the drawing that had the blue shaded buildings? All that block, their lots 13 through 34, is that all owned by Rolando Garza?
Yes, it is all owned by the same owner.
So this is basically his property. Okay, the other question I have, Travis, is that this one in the center, the larger building, is that a permitted building?
I believe the answer to that is yes, because I did see a building application. Whether or not they've gotten occupancy on it, I'm sorry, I didn't check that. I should have before I got here, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
So in the event that there's not an occupancy permit, are we going to then issue him the one?
That is a question that we would essentially have to work with Mr. Garza on.
Yeah. Okay. Counsel?
If you work that out in the plat, in the plat issues, you'll work that out?
Yes, we would work that out.
And then any future plans he has for the platted area will be covered in that?
Yes.
I just don't see you leaving that open-ended, though. You're going to have a duration of time for which he has to complete it?
The language that I inserted in the ordinance, and I'll read that to you specifically, is the property affected by the vacation, the property owner is responsible for any consolidation platting, boundary line adjustments, or binding site plan as necessary prior to any change of use, issuance of building permit, occupancy of the structure, purchase, sale, or transfer of the property. So I tried to essentially cover everything.
So that's if he does something with it. That's what's going to trigger it.
Yes.
But why wouldn't you want one to have, to be recorded?
Immediately?
Yeah.
He could, if he wanted to proceed with that. And you could change this language to specifically give him a year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 months.
Well, in his plat, he would describe any future development he had for that property.
Not necessarily. And the reason why I hesitated from requiring it to be done within a certain amount of time is because theoretically, there are these tiny lots that are not encumbered by buildings that aren't required.
But if he does cover that in his plat, he does not have to come in and seek a building permit to get building done.
That is correct.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, he may desire to do that. I'd like to see more things become platted in this city and recorded.
Yes. And my argument when that issue comes up is I always tell property owners, it never gets cheaper and the regulations never get easier. So it's always to their advantage to clean things up as quickly as possible, but there's no technical requirement that would make him do that at this point.
So how did you come to the conclusion, other than the fact that there's no appraisal value on the property, that there wasn't a value for the property?
I had looked at the previous hearing notes and the minutes from the previous hearings. And then the discussion with staff internally was there was no recommendation. So I'm sorry if I implied that staff didn't want it. It was staff wasn't recommending that either compensation be given. We discussed this at the resolution that the city could do 50% or 100% at its discretion.
Where does that put us legally if we gift it to them? Because basically we're giving it.
Well, you don't. No, I don't see it that way. That the RCWs gives the option to the council of whether or not they want to demand a compensation for vacating that alleyway. If it had been dedicated less than 25 years ago, the code would not allow the city to demand payment for the vacation. I think, and there's another condition, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
If we purchased it.
If they purchased it, yeah, okay. So no, I think the code allows the city to vacate the right of way without demanding funds in exchange.
Okay, just thinking of the future, other people wanting vacations done, you know, a vacation of a right of way that exists, and
oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Go ahead.
Well, my thought is, looking at the property, it may be that for the city to want to compensation, the city would have to conduct an appraisal, and the cost of appraisal may offset whatever value you would get out of that easement, considering that, I mean, there's a building on top of it, and some other factors. So I think that would be a legitimate basis for the city to find that it's wouldn't be in its best interest to pursue that route, if you were worried about a gifting argument.
So if he takes ownership of it, then is there going to be a tax value associated with it?
it would become part of his property and taxable under the current structure.
And the total square footage of the property? Okay.
I should also point out that I did some research into past vacations, and the only time I have seen the city take compensation, it was for the processing costs associated with processing the vacation. There was no actual compensation associated with the value of the property itself. But that was just a quick peruse through the files that I found.
Okay. Counselor, any more questions? Travis? Okay, thank you, Travis. Is the applicant present? Mr. Garza? Okay. At this time, then, I'll open public testimony. Is there anyone here to speak in support, neutral to the proposal, or in opposition of this proposal? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Hearing no further questions, I'll close this public hearing at 7:16 p.m. And council, is there any other additional information you need before we make a motion and approve this or deny it? No? Okay, so our motions are either going to be to approve this as presented by staff, this vacation, approve it with conditions, deny it, or continue this to a future time so more information can be brought forward. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion for any one of those four items.
I'll make a motion to approve the vacation of the alley right-of-way without compensation per the ordinance.
Second. Okay. Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Travis? We'll move on to item 4.2, Anytime Fitness. Our police chief, Phil Shank, has a staff report and an agreement.
Ladies and gentlemen, this one should be very simple. This is an agreement with Anytime Fitness. There is no cost to the city. Basically, the city would be collecting from the employees the dues and passing those through to Anytime Fitness. With that, there is a reduction in cost, so we can encourage more employees to be fit. So, any questions?
One.
Sir?
What would the annual fee be?
There is no annual fee. I believe the annual fee is actually waived. The actual cost is $29 plus tax a month.
I was just wondering, because I figured out what I'm paying them, and it's a lot less. So, can I be a city employee? It's about $100 less than what I'm currently paying.
You are city employee. You could take advantage of it.
But I pay all at one time. I don't get a deduction.
This is a good cost savings.
It's just a really good deal. Doug, you going to use it?
You got it.
All right.
That's a good answer. All right. Thank you, Phil. Any other questions? This time, I'd entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign an agreement with Anytime Fitness.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Phil. Molly, we have an item 4.3, a facility use agreement that has been negotiated, studied, and bantered back and approved and agreed upon with the Othello Youth Baseball Softball League.
Correct. Good evening, Mayor and Council. In March 2013, the City of Othello entered into a facility use agreement, a two-year facility use agreement with the Othello Youth Baseball Softball League. For the use of the softball fields and concession stand at the Lions Park Athletic Complex for $300 for use of those fields or those facilities for each year the agreement was in effect. Per the agreement, the city would take care or provide field maintenance during public works hours, including chalking, dragging to infield, portable mound placement, and use of portable mounds that are property of the city. The city would provide fencing for the league, movement of bases, and As I said, they would provide use of the concession stand for the league's benefit. So now, as March is approaching, that agreement will expire, and so the Youth Baseball Softball League was interested in entering into another facility use agreement with the city. So after the Parks and Recreation Committee met with the Othello Youth Baseball Softball League Vice President, Pete Guzman, we agreed to a facility use agreement for 3 years that is very similar to the previous agreement. As you can see on the agenda memo, I've outlined the most substantial changes that you'll see in the facility use agreement. So first of all, the city will still provide the field maintenance and use of facilities for the league during public works hours. In comparison, this will be a three-year contract. The first year's payment for use of the facilities will be $750. The second year will be $1,500. And the third year will be $2,500. The public works staff will additionally chalk on-deck circles and batter's boxes while they are maintaining the fields. The city will also provide a maintenance crew during the 2015 state softball tournament the league is putting on. And in addition, the city will require the Othello Youth Baseball Softball League to report a number of league statistics to the city, such as participant numbers, cost of registration, any special honors earned, and those will be for the city's records purposes. After we met with the representatives from the Youth Baseball Softball League, and they presented it to their board of directors, and we heard word back that they are in agreement with the terms. Unfortunately, the Vice President, Pete Guzman, cannot be here today as he had prior obligations out of town. So he did let me know that they were in approval and gave his blessing to move forward. So with that, I present the resolution and facility use agreement for approval by the council.
Excellent. Thank you, Molly. Any questions? Council or Molly?
This is a huge jump, Molly. You know my feelings upon this. I mean, we're charging the kids $70 a piece now. You can easily have 2 to 3 kids playing per season. If we crank up this much, they got no choice but to go up on charging the kids. I think the city should really, I know they probably approved it, because what are they going to do about it? They won't have nowhere else to play. I really think this should be something the city should think about doing for its community, and not going up like this. I mean, you're talking basically a difference of $2,200 at the third year, right? So on a $20 million budget, what is that? We just got through paying for a skateboard park. We've been taking anywhere between $25,000, some years $100,000 a year, putting it aside, and we've paid for this park. So we're still going to save money if we pay this difference than what we've put aside for that. It's a drop in the bucket.
Well, do you want to do it for the Barracudas too? Do you want to do it for anyone who wants to?
I tried with the Barracudas. I'm not saying everyone, John.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone. But, I mean, these are kids playing ball. And we got to draw a limit somewhere on what we're doing to the taxpayers that are trying to have a good, safe place that is done by volunteers for their kids to do. How much crime does that keep kids off the street and doing from playing ball?
It just seems like a really steep increase from year to year. Yeah. You know, at 300 last year, and you're done, 3 years on the building, it's $25.
Well, we only brought them up to 300 from 100, and they stayed at 100 for what, 30 years?
200.
No, 30 years.
30 years.
And unfortunately, it should have been brought up a little bit at a time over those 30 years, but they didn't. And now we're trying to catch up. And we've been trying to make it as easy as possible and doing it in steps. But, you know, we did get that mandate from the state auditor's office saying that we could not gift services and facilities to groups and organizations. And unfortunately, you know, I understand the argument that they're taxpayers, but I also know that when they come to us as part of an organization, they're no longer individual taxpayers. They're part of that organization, and that organization has to compensate the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
read the contract. The contract is an exclusive right to the fields.
Yeah.
For whenever they want them.
Yeah, so they can, you know,
from
so they're
April
they're able to kick any taxpayers off the field. So they have to compensate.
So they're keeping taxpayers from using those fields if they desire. The other thing too is that we're currently, staff is going to currently be looking at over the next 3 years of this contract of performing the duty of the association as a parks department. So there would be no need for a youth association. It would be run by the Parks and Rec Department of Othello. So the kids would be paying Othello for the use of the fields.
That's a different discussion at another time.
Yeah.
But I mean, do I think there should be no increase at all? No. Life increases. You know, but that much, no. I don't agree with it.
All right. We've heard from three council members. Anybody, four council members?
I feel that's kind of steep right there. $750, $1,500, $2,500. You're doubling pretty much every year.
Yeah, that's what we intended to do.
But
when we did it in the committee, that's what we intended to do.
We're bringing it up to a point where it basically we won't have to do this again for a very long time. And if we do it right, we'll be increasing it at minimal points, you know, every couple of years, every year, whatever. But you won't have this huge jump again. We're trying to bring them up, just like we did the Barracudas. The Barracudas opted to just do it and get it over with, and theirs isn't changing.
So the next 3 years, what's minimal?
After this.
After this.
Yeah.
You know, that we will have to look at that and see what the cost of living, cost of
maintenance, cost of staff time, supplies, and that's what was taken into account when we went over these fees. And when they were first proposed, they were quite a bit higher than they are now. And this is an agreement that the council committee came to be able to cover a portion of those costs, to reasonably cover them. This number does, you know, when you get to 2,500, that's not even 60% of the costs that go into maintaining the fields just during that amount of time, even with the DOC work that is, you know, they get paid $150 an hour. So it's something that allows us to recoup that money to appease the auditors, but to also be able to continue to provide those services, if not more, for the league.
Yeah, it's only 60%, but as a taxpayer, I expect something. You know what I mean? I mean, a better price. Cheaper price, anyway.
Well, we are throwing additional things into the contract that weren't provided before.
Yeah,
so,
we are having the state tournament here, and that if
the cost of the state tournament for 1 year was roughly $1,000. So
how much does the city get off of hotel, Walmart, when that state tournament comes here?
I don't have those records. I can't speak to that. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't mean to. It was kind of a rhetorical question.
Right,
that's
yeah.
All right.
But
we get money in there, especially when those state tournaments come.
We do get a kickback off the excise tax, right? So
one of the other big considerations was, is something that was talked about was the city taking over the concession stand. The baseball league is getting to keep the concession stand, and from what they make off that concession stand, it should more than cover this increase. It should far cover this increase.
And it should keep them from having to do any other fundraisers.
Any further council comment?
So this money amount will cover for the city crew during the state?
Correct. It's written into the contract. And what was discussed is if they do decide to have another tournament 2 years down the road, because I believe they said it switched every year, east side, west side. If it is, if it does come back here, that would also be written into the contract as well. They would just have to submit a schedule so we can plan for that.
We changed it incrementally. We tried to go up incrementally instead of hitting them all at one time, because the recommendation from staff was to go to 2,500 right away. Boom.
So what was it?
And I felt that that wasn't the right thing to do.
300 for a year?
First it was 100.
So that's just kind of,
then in the last 2 years it was 300. So ease them into it by going to 750 this year, 1,500 the next year.
That's not easing into it.
Well, one of the other things too is last year they paid for their tournament. They paid additional for the tournament. It's just like anybody else coming in and wanting to rent those fields. That's put into this contract. And that's, what was that, $800 to $1,000 or something like that a year?
Yeah.
So that's, that right there covers this year's and next year's cost too.
And with having a tournament or something that brings money to town, they are also able to apply for those lodging tax funds from the city. So to be able to pay back some of the cost to operate those programs, they're able to get that money back from the city as well. So that will also help to offset any costs that they may incur.
Get their name on the list.
I can understand trying to recoup. I mean, business is business, you know what I mean? But, you know, from here on out, we have to have that set as it's going up. I mean, have a 2%, 2.5% of cost of living.
Well, that's our intention.
Yeah, yeah, and I heard
we'll
that.
We'll never do a big, we don't want to do this again.
Yeah. It's based on the price index, and if the price index falls, it'll be less. So, I mean, the figure's $2,500 from the third year on, and whatever the price index is, if the index goes up, it goes up, but it's not going to be more than $25.
Yeah, to me, to me, it sounds cheap for what the city's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a jump that really kind of gets your attention.
Well, unfortunately, it was left
stagnant
for 30 years, and now we got to play catch up. And that's why we're trying to make this as easy as possible to get it up to the level where it should be. And then from there on out, we won't be having any big jumps like this.
And as the council mentioned, even with the Barracudas, when they took the jump, they went to $3,000. They have direct staffing costs that are involved with all of their meets and their practices. And even with the increase in minimum wage that has been happening over the last 2 years since they entered into the contract, their fees that they're paying are covering their staffing costs, the majority of them at this point. So for that to happen for 2 years, even 3 years afterward, says quite a bit about how, you know, how much they're covering in each contract. So, and the little amount that we think we'll need to increase, because we don't need to increase for the next 3 years with the Barracudas. So it's very possible that there may not even be another increase afterward. It just depends on the costs involved.
And we tried to make it as fair as possible with the different groups so that, you know, the Barracudas had their big meet last year, and a lot of those costs were included in the contract, and we're trying to do the same thing here and make sure that those state tournament is covered in the contract. And
any other comment, council?
Any comments from staff?
Actually, I do have a question, or not a question, but a comment on the agreement. If the council does pass a resolution to approve the agreement, there are a couple provisions that I'd like to work with Molly on amending. And one of those would be an amendment of the indemnification provision. It's paragraph 10 on page 4. And I'd also like to include a provision for an attorney's fees provision, just in the event of a dispute. It's just normal contract language that you find in any good contract. And I just want to work with Molly on that. So any resolution you pass, if you could build that room into it so that we can make those changes, I'd appreciate it.
Do we have to cite those if we're going to make the motion?
Well, I leave that up to your parliamentarian, but what I would suggest is usually you would pass a resolution with that an agreement be executed in this form with those changes. Or we can bring it back in front of council.
Okay, so we have lots of options there. There's a couple comments I want to make. One of them is that I realize that the city, for a small fee, has given the use of this park to the leagues for years. I played in that league, you know, years ago. And when you talk about, you know, playing as a kid and then moving on into an adult and then seeing, you know, being on the city council and then, you know, you're over here on this side of the fence making the decisions of what you're going to charge this particular league, change is hard to when you're used to paying a small amount and they're like any other organization, they have to adjust to things in changes in their environment and what they're doing. And the one, this is kind of the underlying concern, and I think, you know, Ken is a businessman in town, Gina, Angel, myself, Eugene, you know, what happens when this is the result of when the city or some other outside organization is doing business, is they're going to have to pass these costs on to somebody. So what they typically do is they approach the business community to make up the difference. So they'll hit me up saying, yep, our costs went up, so now to be a sponsor of a major league team or a minor league team or whatever, we're going to have to raise our rates. Or they'll come back around on a separate one and say, hey, we need to raise some money because the city just raised our fees. And so a lot of that gets borne by the business community. And so that's a concern that I have about raising these rates from $750 to $2,500. Okay, city has costs, and we know that we don't cover the cost. So then it comes down to what is going to be our philosophical outlook or perspective on how we interact and value the contribution that this organization brings to the city. That's the way I believe as a council we need to look at this. And however the council decides this tonight, whether you decide to approve as presented or to approve with certain contract language as Kelly is suggesting, or whether you want to table and go back to the drawing board, or whether you want to make some other alternate arrangement. I'm just saying that those are the considerations as a council, as you're considering this. You're in essence the city, and you are deciding what our perspective and our philosophy is going to be. And when you hear from your organizations as they come back as a result of the decision, be prepared to tell them what your philosophy is, because that's in essence tonight what we're setting is that philosophy.
Well, basically in our committee we did that.
Yep.
And had we known there was going to be this kind of opposition to what we resolved within the committee, we would have worked harder to get to a better resolution that everybody would have been agreeable to. But we did come to a resolution with the organization, the youth organization, for this particular layout of payment within our committee. And I've spent more than 6 to 8 hours of committee time in this particular thing. So if you want to shelve it and not vote on it tonight, then I suggest you put all your opinions down of what you'd like to see us discuss within our committee and come to a resolution on.
I'm not sure we're there yet. I'm at this point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're talking about tabling this motion that we would be bringing forward today. So that means we go back to the drawing board, go back in the committee, and we go back to talking about it.
So where does the profit from the concession stands go? Towards this? A bit of it?
You'd have to ask them.
Baseball.
I don't know whose pocket it goes to.
That they're profiting more than that throughout the season. There's a lot of things coming to play here. You got the profit right there, the excise tax.
The profit goes to the baseball team.
Goes to the baseball.
That's all there.
That was one of the things.
But do they pay off of that? Do they pay part of this?
Well, it's going to go off of their kitty, and they pay this out of their kitty.
Molly hasn't showed you what their income generation is. She did to us in committee. So we know what they have to work with. Through what they do, through individual, kids pay this much. Fundraising pays this much. Concessions pays this much. She had it all laid out. But they certainly can afford it, and they do not have to raise the amount that they charge to the individual kids to cover this cost.
I do want to say this. The Molly and the committee came to an agreement with the league, and I just need to remind the council of that. And the league agreed upon this, but I'm just being philosophical is what I'm doing.
Okay. Angel, to answer a little bit of your question, when we first raised it to $300 2 years ago, one of the things that we told them is after 2 years, the city was going to take over the concession stands. But we decided, in view of what we have to do here, that we will leave that concession there for them to run so that they can use that as a fundraiser. And that will help, I believe, offset some of the costs.
Correct. And I understand, because you guys have talked about it and you know what's in the kitty, so it's easier for you guys to understand and approve that. And we're kind of in the dark in that respect, you know what I mean? So if there's money in there and that is getting paid, well, money's from the businesses, you know, that'll just add more to that kitty. You know where I'm going,
yeah,
coming from?
I see what you're saying.
So
I didn't see a huge rate increase. We sponsor T-ball, and I didn't see a huge rate increase this year.
It's because this hadn't been negotiated yet then. They'd already sent those letters out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the first committee we started with, Pete was there, and we started with $2,500, but I wasn't willing to accept that. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that we needed to go that high right away. So that's why we came up with this incremental increase to that value. And at the third year, we give us time to work on developing something ourselves through the city to provide that opportunity to every kid within the city.
So they're not going to... The kids are going to get charged the same amount. They're not going to getting charged.
I don't see them increasing their costs.
They indicated to us that the price of the kids would not go up. That's what they indicated to us in meetings.
Well, they should know, because they know what's coming in. If not, they would have said, you know what? There's going to be a slight increase because that's not covering the cost.
What was that cost per individual? $70, $75? $70 per kid.
We did the math on what it would be to raise it $250 per person. I think they would have made an extra like $1,200. So it would be less than two. It wouldn't even probably be a dollar for each person for the first year, if they chose to do that. But the city doesn't. We don't require any of our contract organizations to report their to give any sort of statement of earnings or anything like that for us to understand what's within budget and what's not. So for that, we have to move forward with the information that we have as a city and what our costs are. So
you figured out what the total cost for the $2,500 would have been per, if you spread it out to the kids. It was like,
it was $5 per person
at the total rate. $7.75. All right, I think I'm going to cut off the conversation. I think we've had enough discussion. This time I'd entertain any motions with regard to this resolution.
I would like to make a motion that we vote on this and that we do it. We do so with the changes requested by the legal counsel. To work out the language with Molly. It is something that's been agreed upon, so I make the motion, we vote on it.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion seconded. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So we had, raise your hand if you oppose the motion. So we had five in favor, two opposed. Okay, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number five, unfinished business. I want to remind the council our planning session is next Monday night. It'll start at 5:30 with a light dinner, and it'll be here in the council chambers. The other thing I'd like to find out is this, Travis has arranged with the Department of Economic and Trade and Development or Commerce to do a short course on planning, March 11th. How many of the council can attend that? That'll be here from 6:30 to 9:30, I believe. On the 11th of March.
6:30 to 8:30. You're going to go 3 hours?
Is it three or two?
Yes. All right. I'll be there.
I'll be there. Okay, good. It'll be good education.
Before you finish.
Yes.
Under new business, I'd still like to do one thing.
We're going to get some more. Okay, I'm still on unfinished. Terry, did you want to give us an update on the transmission lines?
That's the one they won March 2nd.
About the other one.
6:30 to 9:30 on the 11th.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Okay, let me give a. The City Council authorized, because of the time frame with the new well and the need to have transmission lines run, an emergency was declared. We authorized, the council gave the authority to Wade to make a decision about selecting a firm to perform that. And now, Terry, go.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. In front of you, I've passed out a bid tabulation from the contractors that we've actually have given our specs to, our drawings to, and asked for quotes in return. Out of this group of people here, you see three of them up here, Pegram Construction, POW, and Apollo. There was actually five contractors that we sought out for construction. Three of them were locally in town contractors. The other two that you see here, POW and Apollo, were actually working in town. POW is actually going to start here on Concrete Drive latter part of this week, and Apollo's down on the school district. The other two contractors were Joe's Excavation and Digging for You, Ron Van Lanningham. Those two opted, they got the information, they opted not to because right now they're currently trying to dig some water lines in to get ahead of irrigation here, so they figured that the project that we had at hand for Digging for You, they wouldn't be able to give it a full attention, so they opted out. Joe's Excavation was kind of the same way. He picked up a job on top of what he's doing for the Rural School District here out of Moses, so he wouldn't be able to give full attention to that as well. They would be drugs pretty thin. So the three remaining you see in front of you are the three that we took the remainder of our quotes from. On the back page of this, the second page of this bid tabulation, you'll see some schedules there. You'll see schedule A, B, and an A and B. Schedule A is your water line, 16-inch transmission line. Schedule B is your 6-inch force main for your sanitary sewer. Your sanitary sewer has actually been stubbed when we did the overlay for East Main Street out here by the Cimarron. We stubbed it to the north for anticipation to get it outside the road so that we could carry it on out across 17 and get it out past WashDOT's right away. The transmission line will hook on just a slight bit east of Walmart on that south side of the road and will carry on down. Then there's a cut through that we put in there when we overlaid Main Street there. About 500 feet back from the intersection of 17, it'll cut across with a 16-inch main there, and it'll attach the water line coming across on the north side underneath 17 to WashDOT right away. As you can see, the bid tabulations down here, the low bidder for this was Pegram Construction at $643,356.72. And POW was $829,249.62. And Apollo Inc. was $971,224.60. So the low bidder was actual Pegram on this job site. It includes both the transmission line, the 16-inch, and the 6-inch force main to be drug out and drug across Highway 17.
For future development.
For future development, correct.
So you'll have the jacking boards in there underneath the freeway? And
Yeah, that's correct, John. I was just going to get to that. WashDOT has allowed in the past jacking and boring underneath the road. There's been three cases this year in eastern Washington, depending on soil content, that they won't allow jacking and boring and be horizontal drilling. Jack and bore, we would lay two pieces, or we'd lay our water main and our sewer in the same pipe, 42-inch pipe, underneath that road, and then we would CDF it for sanitary purposes. We don't know at this time whether WashDOT's going to allow that because they're waiving on that. That's not saying they won't. They were supposed to give me an answer back last Friday. I haven't heard. We still are in contact with them. They ain't made their decision yet, but they have given us the okay to be in their WashDOT right away. They just haven't given us the authorization on that. Now, the horizontal directional boring, basically they're shoving the pipe through as they bore it. It'll have to be two pieces of pipe for the water main and the force main. Cost is being told by the engineers is probably going to be a wash, a few dollars more here or there, because the 42-inch pipe and then you got two other pipes laying in there is going to be about one and the same. So you'll see in the schedule over here, you'll see where they've got jack and bore still listed in here with that 42-inch pipe, but that decision has been made. As soon as it is, we'll remove the specs on that and we'll put in the right specs in the spec book.
Terry, I haven't got a question for you, but I got a question for the attorney. We declared an emergency on Well 9 to get water into town.
Correct.
As much as I would like to see the sewer, Can we add the sewer to this project? Because that wasn't part of the emergency.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm just, this is an issue of first impression for me, and I don't know the answer to that. I think it would take, it would be outside the scope of what the council authorized. Now, it makes good fiscal sense to do it, but it is outside the scope of what the city authorized. So I think what would have to happen, it would have to come back to the council. And what I would need to do is take a look at that statute again, because it is very specific as to what constitutes an emergency, and have an opinion, form an opinion for you as to whether or not we can declare an emergency that would extend to the sewer as well. I don't know off the top of my head, and this being an issue of first impression for me, I can't have an answer for you on the spot, and I apologize for that. Okay. It's a good question.
So we need to work on getting around that, because doing these both at the same time is going to save us a tremendous amount of money.
No, and I understand that.
I agree, but we need to step follow the guideline too.
Yeah, I know, but we need. That's why I say we need to figure a way about doing it.
Because you don't want to open up a trench and have to close it up and do it again.
Okay, Terry, thanks for the update. This was just informational for the council.
Yes, it's just informational, and for Kelly too.
Thank you.
So I think what we would need to have is refer to our council. As Kelly said, this is first impression, and render some kind of an opinion to Wade, and then if we need to hold a special council meeting to address that, I'll call a special council meeting, because we need to begin to act, which is why and act very quickly on, at a minimum, the water issue. And so we could have a special council meeting, you know, later this week or early next week. So, or anyway, well, there are a lot of options, but if it's just necessary, well, I'll call one.
Okay. Good to know.
Yes, Terry.
If we're going to do that, we want to stay ahead of the farmer here if we can, to get across this field. So the sooner the better, if time is of the essence here.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. I will look at it first thing.
So could we put together a regular motion and just do it out of this water sewer budget, and have a motion to extend the sewer line?
If it's legal, yeah.
If
it's legal, if we do the sewer.
No, not as an emergency, just get together a motion to extend the sewer line to that final destination.
As a course of doing business, is what you're saying.
Yes, out of the water sewer account, and vote on it at the costs that have been presented.
But then it's over that threshold of what has to go out to bid.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it did. There was three bids.
Well, but it didn't follow the normal bidding process. And so, and that's the question. Because we are outside the bidding process, and we were able to do that for the water line because of the emergency issue. So the issue is, can we do that for the sewer line? I don't know. I'll have to take a look into that. That's going to take a hard look, because the same emergency that applies to the water does not apply to the sewer. So we need to see the legal issues. If you can save a considerable amount of money by doing the work, same emergency work and non-emergency work at the same time, and can you do that under the same bidding process? That's going to take some looking into.
I would ask that if possible, based on what Terry just said, if we could get authorization from you all to proceed from the well this way across the farmer's field with a water line, that's not going to affect the sewer. If we could perhaps do that and get, you know, if we really let Pegram continue with that piece. And that way we can get across the farmer's field, get that piece taken care of. That's what we're worried about. So
it'll take us a while to come back across that field. A couple days, 3 days, get outside and get outside washed out right away and get down. By that time, I would think that Kelly would have an answer for us, because we're going to have to come back from there.
Okay. And if we need to hold a special council meeting, I'll call one.
All right. Do you have, Terry, do you have a drawing of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, just one comment is, once you, if you're jacking and boring that 42-inch pipe and you're putting two pipes in there, and if you're not going to put one pipe in there, filling that with CDF, it's going to be kind of hard to put a pipe through there.
You're not going to be able to do it.
We don't have to CDF it if we're not putting sewer in there. We have to CDF it because the split has to be 18 inches.
Oh, okay.
The spread, 16-inch water main, 42-inch pipe with 6-inch sewer. We have to CDF it because we don't have enough separation. Without that pipe, we don't have to CDF it. You'll have to support the zone inside that pipe.
Okay. No, but if you do the forced sewer and you come back and do it later, because it's just going to add to your cost of opening it up and then CDFing it as you put it in, you know, it, at this point in time, it's all going to be done at one time. Both of them are going to be drugged through at the same time and then CDFed.
Let's let our attorney.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
All right. Is there any other unfinished business that we need to bring before the council tonight?
I just okay, had one thing.
You had some new business?
New business.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like the staff to look into the various soccer associations that are using public fields, which are being used by the parks, you know, and look at what getting them in line with everyone else, because there's a lot of soccer play going on, and there's actually soccer play going on that is conflicting with the baseball play that's going on too during the times. So I'd like the staff to get involved in that and look at that. Okay. If they have to form association and reserve the right to those fields, they need to do that.
Molly? Thank you. All right. And is there any other new business? This is the time where the council would ask our staff to, as John just did, to research issues to bring back before the council.
How goes the planning on the farmer's market deal? Where are we at on that?
I've asked Varela. Okay, we stalled out with our previous engineering firm, so I've asked Varela to get in bed with us on that and look at it. So we stalled out, but we're going to try and get some air under the wings, so to speak, and get it going.
Okay. Come up with something, a design or something to bring to council.
Yeah.
We've already appropriated the money, right? So the money's there waiting to be spent.
Yes.
So summer's coming up.
Got it.
Okay. Couple of mayor announcements. Jazz night is tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the Old Nazarene Church. They're having an auction, dinner. Welcome to attend, invited to attend. And then this Friday night is the annual Chamber of Commerce banquet. That is the where the Chamber of Commerce hands out its Citizen of the Year, Business of the Year, Teachers of the Year, and Civil Servant of the Year awards. And I believe Dave Rim was named the Civil Servant of the Year. So you're welcome to and invited to come to the Chamber Banquet. That's the social and political event of the year in Othello. And you can obtain tickets from Columbia Bank or the Realty. Brian, what is it? Yeah, the Gentry's.
Remax
Realty. And I also believe at Umpqua Bank, so, and the Chamber office. So you're all welcome to attend that. Is there any other information anybody wants to give out?
Yes, the Lions Club is holding Ham Bingo on the 12th of March at the Senior Center. And $10 for 10 games, and you want a ham or an Easter basket or a bag of potatoes, and okay. Those are good guys.
Thank you. With that, I think we'll move to item number 7.1, executive session and potential litigation. The
Council will now adjourn at 8:05 p.m. to go into executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.111I to discuss legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions and with our legal counsel. So I anticipate that conversation could take as much as 20 minutes to a half an hour. And with that, let's just call it a half an hour. And I'd like to adjourn the meeting to our executive session. And I would like to remain the public works staff and our legal counsel and Wade. Okay? Thank you. Okay, we've now come out of executive session after an extension of 15 minutes. It's now 8:48 p.m. and we had Angel Garza recuse himself from this executive session because of a conflict of interest with this particular litigation, and so he was recused himself, and so now remains and has left the meeting, and so now remains the remaining six council members. Moving on to item eight, council will also receive department head January reports. Having no further business but to come before the council, I'll now adjourn this meeting at 8:49 p.m.